Hey, my name's Emma.
Hey, my name's Maddie.
And you're listening to The Pilots Pandemic. Hey, y'all, what is up? You're here with The Pilots Pandemic podcast, your host, Emma, and our lovely co-host, Maddie.
What's up? What's up?
And we're back solo after a good amount of guests, which we had some really, really awesome guests. So if you have not listened to our guest episodes, highly urge you to go back and listen, because I think there were just some like really, really core pieces of those episodes that really resonate with everything that Maddie and I talk about on a daily basis that align with our mission. So if you want to know what we're about, or like you're a new listener, our last three episodes are good ones. So go back and listen.
It feels like we haven't like talked in forever, because all of the topics of conversation that we're going to talk about have happened like a little bit ago. So
I know. And also, we don't really talk like when we're with guests, we don't really chit chat. I mean, I guess we do, but also like, I feel like sometimes it's good to recenter and come back into our balance and refine the rage.
And also because you work now all the time, we barely get to talk to each other. It's kind of messed up. I'm sad.
It really is messed up. Like, yo, I literally hate working. I hate working. it bothers me that people have dream jobs, because I'm like, I could never dream of work. Like, I just really could never dream of work. I sent you that picture of me the other day. Yes. I went out with a friend, and I have to pull it up because I have to remember exactly what I said. So apparently I said something. I don't know why, but this is so funny to me. So in a conversation, I just off guard say, hold on. What was it, Matt?
I have it, but
wait.
It perfectly encapsulates you.
I'm going to bring a lot of things to the relationship, but it's not going to be working.
Yes.
Emma, 2023.
It's so perfect, though. Although I will say you do a lot in home, like cleaning and all of that. And that's kind of working, in my opinion.
So. Well, I've been doing that, and I also work. It's not even like I don't work either, but I just literally hate working. Like, I'm not somebody who's going to be like, oh yeah, like going to work today. Like, hell yeah. Like, get my grind on. Like, I'm not a grinder. I'm not addicted to the grind.
Yeah. We'd be making good trust fund babies, you and me.
I know for real. I wish I could just like lean back and literally do nothing. Like, I wish I was a what's that called? A Nepo baby.
Oh yeah. That's like a trust fund baby, honestly.
Same. But goodness, I have not really been. I mean, we were going to talk about like what we've been up to. I went to Hilton Head. That was very like quiet, though. There's not really much to talk about with that. It's the beach in the winter. You can't really do much.
You didn't do anything fun?
I mean, we did. Like, we went and like went to the beach bars and like had cute little cocktails and went shopping. So I mean, that was a lot of fun, but nothing like, I mean, I was with my mom and my grandma. It's not like it's not like it was going down, you know what I mean?
No, I know. Did you watch the Super Bowl?
Yes, I was there for my girl Riri all night long. Oh my god, incredible performance.
Yes, it was amazing. I was like, I thought she just had a baby. Like, she can't be pregnant.
And I know,
like,
that's...
But she looks pregnant. I was like, she is pregnant. I thought that was epic that was like her announcement that she was pregnant again.
I love that all of us just like universally were watching that, and we all at around the same like amount of like the same minute mark, I think we all as a collective were like, oh my god, is Rihanna pregnant? Like, and I just remember looking, all of us were looking at each other with our jaws on the ground, because literally she just had her baby, and she's like showing. So I'm like, dang, okay, the turnover time there was quick.
Yeah, it was like a wham bam thank you ma'am, like back to back. But yeah, I loved her performance. I thought it was so good. And I was just thinking, like, damn, she's pregnant, like doing this. That's so wild. I don't know. Me pregnant, if I think about myself pregnant, I feel like I would be like a basket case of emotion. So I would not want to be out front and center stage pregnant.
I'm just like, the amount of like training and what is it, practicing that goes into that, like the amount of rehearsal. And obviously it's not something that's easy. Like, you're dancing and you're singing at the same time. Like, I know that's a workout. And you're pregnant, like you're carrying a watermelon on your on your belly, like
She's badass, dude.
She really is. She's a goat for that. We love her. We love her. We stand. And I literally will not accept any Rihanna slander. Like, people were trying to say that it wasn't entertaining. I'm like,
what?
Seriously? What rock do you live under? Like, those are literally some of the most iconic hits. I'm just like, okay, good night, good night, goodbye. Like, don't talk to me. Like, don't come in my space. Don't breathe on me. Don't look at me. Like, you're honestly not even worthy. Shame.
Shame on your name. Well, I guess we'll get into it. I did want to say, because I don't think that we have talked solo since January, that if you guys were wondering, I did make my dry January happen, which I like. I'm amazed by, because I've never done it, and I'm always surprised that I did it too. So I just wanted to say that I did it.
Honestly, it's just impressive as fuck. Like, talk about things that are impressive. That's very impressive with what we talk about all the time. I'm sorry. That's just very impressive.
I know. I'm like, how did I stay sober for 31 days? That seems like so long, because obviously I've been drinking now. So yeah. I mean, it helped that Jesse did it with me. Like, I think if you have someone to do it with you, much easier than if like you're the only one in the household doing it and everybody else is drinking around you. That would be probably break me halfway through, I'm sure. So
yeah, no, I could never.
Yeah. But anyways, we're going to dive into our topic of conversation today. And I think we've touched on this quite a bit, but we haven't really dove into actual people talking about it. So we're going to talk about the stigma of silence that the FAA has been really good at hanging over the heads of aviators. And what I mean by the stigma of silence is that there are plenty of aviators who have stories about their medical system, but are afraid to tell them because they're afraid that the FAA will seek retribution against them. Even though the FAA is talking about mental health and how they're trying to support it and they're trying to make moves towards destigmatization, there's still this massive stigma of pilots not wanting to tell their stories because they think somehow the FAA is going to come after them specifically. So we're going to read DMs that we've gotten from pilots that show you that this stigma is still alive and well. So the first one I'm going to read, obviously, they're all going to be anonymous because they're afraid to tell their stories. But this person came into my DMs and they said, because I'm still in the process of getting my special issuance, I'm not comfortable making a written statement, which is, he's talking about the affidavit because he wanted to write one. And I told him what that would entail. And then he said, however, I'd be willing to go on your podcast, which I was like, okay, if you're not willing to write an affidavit, I don't think you want to come on the podcast. So I told him, you do realize that I'm not submitting the affidavit to the FAA and only to Congress. And I said, also, our podcast is heard and seen by anyone, unlike the written statement. And they said, on second thought, I'll keep my story to myself. I simply just don't trust the process or the system. Best of luck and thank you for what you do. So that's just an aviator who wants to share about the process, but it's also too scared to do it because of the stigma. It's so far reaching these days, even though the FAA continues to say that they're working on the stigma. I really don't think they've done enough to do that. So it's just, I don't understand, because the affidavit isn't seen by the FAA unless our congressional member who we deal with said to us, we're going to take this to the FAA. They do ask us specifically. They've asked us, like, with our outline, like, hey, is it okay if your names are in it? And Emma and I, of course, said yes. But if that was such a concern, we could just say redact the names from the affidavits if you want to send the FAA. Like, that's my whole thing. But
anyways, I'm going to read two more because I feel like one's just not enough. Like, I feel like we got to really, like, lay down the pathway for what we actually mean. Okay, so this person said, in this air medical issue case, I'd agree. It's unlikely that the FAA would retaliate. But in my case, it's much different. The FAA has a long history of retaliating against whistleblowers.
I don't know what this person did, like, but I think it's probably very similar to everybody else's medical, you know, like the problems that they're facing. But I think it's funny that they think, oh, they're more important, or like the FAA has them on a pedestal over others. And so I didn't really understand what he was trying to say. But I think a lot of these people and pilots, you guys, you make up stories in your head that aren't actual reality. It's like, I get why people are afraid of the FAA, but the seeking retribution has only happened to whistleblowers at airlines, like Carlene Pettit, and Soma Pertle is another one. And they are calling out safety issues within an airline and have had retribution sought against them, but not particularly by the FAA. And the only other case I can think of is the older aviator who we had a show on. Gosh, his name is escaping me right now. I think it's Bob. Do you remember him, Emma, who I'm talking about?
Oh, Bob Hoover.
Yeah, Bob Hoover. Okay. I was like, Fox? But then I was thinking about the foxes. Anyways, so that's the only case that I can think of where the FAA has literally sought retribution against someone specifically, who were out to get Bob Hoover. But that was so long ago. I've never seen a case where the FAA has sought retribution against a pilot talking about the air medical system and their personal story with it. That there's no precedent for that. So I don't know why all these aviators are saying this. Like, I don't want to say it because I'm afraid the FAA, like, it's so funny. Like, they know they're in the process and it takes 24 months for them to get their medical back, especially if you're in the SSRI pathway. But then they think somehow the FAA is going to be paying attention to their social media or a podcast. They just don't have the resources. Even if they wanted to do that, they don't have the resources, and they keep piling on the work for themselves anyway. So
yeah,
I don't know why the thought process is there.
I think for a lot of people, it feels personal, like getting that letter from the FAA and them telling you, you know, you're not fit for this. I feel like for a lot of people, there's this internal personal feeling that they resonate with that, because also what we talk about so much of your identity is wrapped up in being a pilot. So I don't really feel like it'd be a far-fetched idea for it to be stemming from that like very deeply personal issue. But at the same time, just like you said, people who have been directly targeted by the FAA, they haven't even really, it's really the FAA in combination with the airline. It feels like it's always starting on an airline level and then going up from there.
Yeah.
But I just don't see it happening a lot in general aviation. I don't, you know, again, like, yes, you might consider them taking away your medical for something that you disclosed as retribution, but really it's not. That's just the problem. You know what I mean? That's just how they function. That's just the system. I don't really think that's retaliation. It's just the bullshit laws, rules, and regs that they've been following since the fucking 60s. Somebody else said, I totally love to share my story if I remain anonymous. It's just that I'm worried if I shared it, they would reopen their case against me. And now that I own an airplane, I have too much skin in the game. Again, they have how many medicals that they have to go through? And there's only three of them. I don't think that they're going to add to their workload because you wrote an affidavit to Representative Rick Larson, which they probably will never see.
Yep. It's just, it's not going to happen, guys. I know that you think it is, but it's not. They have about 400,000 medicals they have to sift through. And your story is not one of those things that's going to come onto their radar. But there is a other stigma. I think the reason pilots are not telling their story and, you know, people are telling us, like, be careful what you say. Like Emma said, she was told, like, you know, the FAA is going to take your medical if you start this podcast or if they see your petition, and that hasn't happened. And I think that may be a hard pill to swallow, but it's something that needs to be said. And I literally just got a DM last week, another person telling me, I'm going to read you what they said, because I have not received one of these messages that was so blunt. But I was also not surprised. And it says, "Hello, I am an American Airlines pilot with a special issuance for Lexapro. I admire your courage to post on this subject, but it makes me nervous to see you poke the bear. I got divorced 4 years ago and had trouble sleeping from anxiety. I foolishly was honest with the company and FAA and lost my medical for a year and a half while they went through the process. My mental health problems lasted a month, but I lost all that time because of the FAA. Please tread lightly. They have a big stick." So again, another message based in fear. I understand a little bit like why he would send me that, but he has a special issuance, SSRI special issuance. So he did go through the process and was awarded that. So in my mind, it's like they didn't seek retribution against him. He just had a tough time going through the process. And then he's projecting that hardness onto me. And
well, the other thing is, like, you went through all of that and you're saying, you're basically alluding to the fact that, like, it fucked up your life for a brief period of time. Like, it wasn't an enjoyable experience for you. You obviously know that what you went through was part of a flawed system. So yeah. Why would you try and bring down the people that are trying to change it for you? And that goes for God. Ooh, I can think of so many fucking people. Shame. Yeah. It is really a shame. But I mean, literally, that's what I get from that message, is like, why are you trying to tear down? And it, maybe it's not, they're not coming from it from like a point of wanting to tear you down, but it's still negative. It's a negative message. And it's, mm-hmm. Why would you be negative to somebody who is literally trying to make sure that nobody ever has to go through that same exact situation, that, God forbid, you don't ever have to go through that again? Like, I
feel like they just like saying it, like they just want to say it, you know, like they just want to have their message heard, because we do get a lot of that, like, just listen to my story, but I don't actually want to tell it. So it is what it is. But I think, you guys, like, if you're one of those people who's fear mongering people with retribution, the FAA seeking retribution, please stop, because it is adding to the stigma and it makes people, if you're not as strong as Emma and I are, we've been talking about this for over a year and a half, I feel like you may have someone retreat into themselves and not talk about their mental health because of it. Got gut issues? Because Emma and I sure do. I have an issue with high sugar foods and anything with added preservatives, and Emma has a whole ass gluten intolerance. So we struggle with finding tasty treats, but thank the heavens for Abinola, because it has been a lifesaver when we want a sweet treat fix without all the gut bums that high gluten foods like cookies and cakes give us.
Abinola has a chocolate granola that is made with lupini beans, so it's gluten-free and only has 1 gram of sugar, leaving our sweet tooth satisfied and our tummies feeling perfectly fine.
You guys, you can head over to abby-foods.com or the Instagram account at abby_foods_co for your granola fix turned tasty treat fix. You'll also find all kinds of recipes to try out, so you'll never get bored with Abinola. Use code PILOTSPANDEMIC for 15% off your order of Abinola.
Anyways, we're going to move on. Our next topic of conversation was the, how do you even say this abbreviation?
Asthma.
Asthma.
It's the Aerospace Medical Association.
So yeah, they came out with an article cementing that what we already largely know and what we've been talking about, the fact that pilots do have healthcare seeking aversion, and why we should be paying attention. So we're going to read some snippets from this article. So it goes, a recent large survey found that air crew members were likely to delay care longer for cardiac symptoms than the non-flying public because they were concerned about their flying status. This is not uncommon for many conditions, but how can we, as an aerospace medicine and human factors organization, make a difference? End quote. So, we talked about Billy's research on healthcare seeking aversion in episodes 7 and 26, those were the episodes that Billy was on. So yeah, definitely go back and listen to those episodes. And we've also talked about this research a lot, and it's all over our Instagram as well. So hopefully this isn't the first time you're hearing about it, but the article goes on to say, quote, first, we have to acknowledge our population frequently delays care for medical and mental health conditions. And there are many reasons and fear of unknown potential loss of flying, not believed the symptom could be real or life-threatening, or deciding that the symptoms are due to something else, end quote. But also just another little comment on why aviators don't seek care. And yeah, another DM. So it says, to be honest, I don't think that I need an SSRI anymore, and I want to try life without it again, but I'd have to surrender my medical for 60 days and then get a new one, assuming that it's all successful. If I was unsuccessful in coming off of it, I'd have to restart the entire special issuance process. I get why pilots just lie. It's not a good system. So yeah, I feel like it's great that they're talking about this, but a lot of it is just I feel like a reiteration of things that we've talked about so much and they have been saying.
I think that their big push is realizing that pilots are not likely to come forward about their health problems in an efficient manner because obviously of the stigma and getting help. And so right now, a lot of the message is get help now, seek help before it becomes a huge issue. But they're realizing that that is not typically the case. For most pilots, they will wait until the symptoms are pretty egregious and bothering their daily life. So that's why I feel like the FAA is pushing that message of just take care of yourself in the beginning and don't let it get worse. And although I think it's great that they're starting to talk about mental health and seeking care and all of these things, I still think they're not talking about the real issues of why pilots don't seek care or delay care because of their air medical system. And just like this guy had commented, he's already went through the special issuance process, and now he probably would be okay to come off of his SSRI, but he realizes if he does, the process to come off it is just as difficult as the process to go on it. So I don't think that's right either. And I think that's something that people don't think about, is when someone's on an SSRI, the SSRI is not meant for you to be on lifelong. And it's supposed to deal with your stress, and you're supposed to be able to come off of these drugs. And so that's another issue, is that some people are ready to come off of these SSRIs, but there is a barrier again to coming off of them. So they're staying on them longer than they should.
Yeah. It's really scary to think about the fact that people, if you're in this situation, you're not really even thinking about it's almost even helping yourself or being on the SSRI in the first place kind of goes out the door, because then at a certain point, you're not even focused on your actual mental health. You're just focused on, okay, how am I going to be able to continue to keep my medical, you know? Yeah. And that's the sad part, is you should be able to have the freedom to if something isn't right for you, A, either change the medication, or B, stop taking the medication if you want to, without having to think about how many months you're going to be out of work.
Yep. So I'm going to read the end of the article. Excuse me. I'm just burping over here.
Bird gang.
Yeah. Asthma ends with this. So what can we do about it? In a word, educate. Get the facts and go speak to pilots and other air crew members. Hang out at your local squadron, aviation group, or flight school. Listen and correct misinformation. Write columns for the local newsletters or magazines. Emphasize early intervention has better outcomes. Talk about prevention. If we can openly discuss a sensitive topic, we get an informed population, and that can reduce the stigma of not being 100% fit. It will also decrease fear, and maybe we can save a life. So,
which, I mean, if that ain't a more beautiful way to sum up everything that we've talked about in the top of this episode, yeah. And that's coming from this organization. Like, so if we can tell you that, and an organization can tell you that, that should be all the push and shove that you fucking need. Like, they're telling it to you right here in beautifully written, very politically correct terms.
Yep. I think, our three keys that we approach are advocacy, awareness, action, AAA of the skies, as I call it. And in this article, they're talking about advocacy, awareness, and action. But I think the big thing that they aren't covering is going to the source and letting the FAA know that things need to change. And I think that's the problem for me, is that nobody is addressing the FAA and saying, hey, these aviators have these three specific problems. Every time we talk to them and the special issuance process, they have these problems. They're not saying that. And that's my problem, is that no one's talking about it, what the real problems are. And Emma and I have pinpointed these problems from the hundreds and hundreds of stories we've heard of pilots going through the air medical process. And it isn't just mental health. This is cardio stuff, cancer stuff, sleep apnea. They all say the same thing about the process. So I think that that's important. And I hope to see people start to take on our narrative and start to take our three barriers of disclosure and realize, like, these are things that we need to tackle so that more pilots will come out of the woodwork and not be afraid to say, hey, these are the problems I'm having with the FAA's air medical system.
Another thought, like, just to wrap up on this, but part of the reason why I think the FAA has been able to continue this way for as long as they have is because of literally all of y'all wanting to be so quiet about it. Nobody knows that it's happening because you're not saying anything about it. So how can we even address the problem if we don't even know there is one? And that's very, very unfortunate to me. And I see that a lot with, like, the older generations. Like, we're only really talking about it because the youth is like, hey, this is really fucked up. And then we also have the older generation that is just now starting to talk about it, but they're talking about it because they're retired. But I don't know. It just, that kind of made me think a little bit. Like, I think unless we say something, nothing can ever change. Unless we really, really lay down a foundation of, hey, this is what's going on, nothing is ever going to change. They can continue to behave and go about the same way that they've been going and down the same path, because it's just, it's not a problem. It's not in front of their face, and it's not being spoken about enough. And the sheer, like, gravity of it isn't being spoken about enough. But yeah, and that's why you need to, like, be honest.
Yeah, messages, tell your story, be brave, do the right thing so that change can happen, because the longer you stay silent, the more the stigma continues on. So we need to break the stigma by speaking out.
Amen. All right, well, we'll move on to our fun questions.
Yay. Okay, so first question. What type of reaction are you giving your man if he looks at other women when you're around?
This happened last night in Chipotle.
yes. I cannot wait for you to tell this story.
So we were standing in line in Chipotle, and I noticed there was this girl in there, and she was, like, over by, like, the area where you get, like, your napkins and your stuff. And, like, I don't know, she was filling up her drink, and she was in workout clothing, and she was, like, fucking tall, man. This girl was, like, definitely a softball player. Like, she was really tall, super muscular. And I noticed, like, Zach and I both looked at her because we were like, oh, okay, like, that girl's ripped. And then I looked over and I noticed she was standing towards us and she had some mommy milkers, okay? She had some. And Zach is just like looking over there, and I look at Zach and I look at her and I look at Zach, and then Zach looks at me because Zach notices that I'm noticing, and I just stared at him.
No, it doesn't bother me. I'm actually like, I can definitely appreciate a hot chick and a nice ass and rack, man. I'm just like, I'll point it out. But that's just me. I'm like, if I can appreciate the female form and look myself, like, I'm okay with my partner doing that. I think it's more like, I think I told you this a while ago, but like, if they're hiding it and they're like secretly like on their phone, like looking at all these hot girls, then I'm like, what the fuck? Why are you hiding that shit from me? So that's the only thing that bothers me. If it's out in the open and I can see it, I don't care.
Yeah. Which I understand that. That's like valid. I mean, and if I was okay with it, like, I feel like it would have to be in that context. Like, ugh, don't be sneaking behind my back.
Yeah. Okay, so next question then. I kind of made these succinct so that they go well together. What is, like, your type?
I want a man who literally thinks that I'm incredible. Like, I want somebody that literally is like going to just, I don't even care. Like, I don't have a type. My type is, you're obsessed with me.
Bro, you do have a type though. You have the long hair snowboard. Oh yeah,
I do.
Type.
I do. Okay. I do that really have type. A type. I like a granola boy. Like, I love a granola boy meets hunter gatherer.
Emma and I are totally opposite because my type is like businessman. Like, get up in a suit, put your fucking tie on, look like a little Mormon boy, be a good little goody two shoes, and like that.
You love a finance bro.
No, I don't like bros. That's my thing. Like, you have to be have like smart conversations with me and like think that I'm smart too, obviously. I get bored easily, like with people who can't hold a conversation or like just talk about like stupid surface level stuff. Like, I need someone who's kind of like in depth, which is Jesse in so many ways. That's why we're married. But
aww, that's so cute. So with that, if any of you are still listening, it would be amazing if you could review us on Apple or Spotify. That would be actually so great. Like we always say, reviewing and subscribing and typing and engaging is always great for the platform. It really does help us. So you're still listening and you're sticking around, like, why don't you just like, if you like this show, like, why don't you just go like write what you like about it on Apple? That's all I'm going to ask.
Yeah. But also, like, you guys, if you do write a review, because I like to incentivize things so that you're more likely to do it, I have Pilots Pandemic stickers and also little postcards. So if you want one and you write a review and you either, like, send that to our DMs or to our email to confirm that you did it, I will send you a Pilots Pandemic sticker with, like, a little written card. Because we do appreciate it. And we haven't had a review for so long. Like, I want a 2023 review. So, and it helps us, you know, it helps spread the awareness and the advocacy. So if you're not going to tell your story, you don't have a story to tell, the least you could do is just give us a quick review. We would really appreciate that. It goes a long way for us and our podcast. And thank you for your messages, because I've been getting some messages about the podcast just saying, like, thank you for talking about this, and it's really needed, and I really appreciate you guys podcasting and talking about the realities of the air medical system. So thank you guys for, like, coming into our DMs and also just, like, giving us the gratitude and stuff, because we are grateful for you listening and for spreading the message as well.
Yeah, for sure. Well, with that, I think that's all for this week. I can't think of anything else. Can you, Maddie?
Nope, that's it.
All right, y'all. Well, like I always like to say, Something about the blue side and the brown side, whatever.
Keep the blue side up and the brown side down, baby.
Until next week. Toodles.